Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Goal!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Welcome to our Lady Aguilas centered podcast. Today we're going to be recapping the 2-1 victory at home in the debut opener for Carrington's ladies against Santos Femenil, and then we're going to be looking ahead into the future and giving you guys ready for Friday night's matchup against Puebla, also at home at the Estadio Azteca. And to help me out with all of this and more, it is none other than our very own Lady Aguila expert, AJ, my friend, how are you?
Doing good. Just really excited to talk about Lady Aguilas and everything that we have in today's episode. Can't wait.
Definitely. It feels like a breath of fresh air after watching the game. I mean, it wasn't a good game. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you that, you know, I feel very confident in this team going forward now because of the result. But I do think that there was a lot of promising things that we can take away from. And we know that this is always going to be kind of a building block of Carrington's kind of tenure and hopefully finding the identity that he wants these ladies to play with. So we saw hopefully the fundamentals and the building blocks of that against Santos. We'll discuss about that in just a brief moment. But overall, I think it's something to be excited about, AJ.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just what a way to start your debut in the Liga MX Femenil at the Estadio Azteca, Mexico's biggest stadium and one of the most well-known arenas in the world, and to get a win over there as well, it's gotta be a good feeling.
Definitely. And let's just jump right into it. Look, America was coming into this one knowing that there was going to be a fresh start to, well, obviously to the season being the first game, but I feel like everything that just kind of went on in and around Coapa last season in regards to America Femenil feels like we got a, you know, a clean sleep. And then now we're looking into the future and hopefully what should be something good under Carrington. And you know, the team played like that. I think it's hard to deny the fact that I feel like for the most part, America dominated possession. AJ, I know you'll have the sense for us in just a second, but I mean, possession-wise, I feel like we definitely dominated. Shots on target, well, I don't know how much on target, but shots in general, I think that we definitely maybe commanded that also much better than Santos did. You know, absorbing this after 90 minutes, seeing what you saw on the pitch, America walks away with a 2-1 victory. How are you feeling walking away from this?
I'd say content, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, 3 points is 3 points, but I feel they were somewhat sorry. I feel like America had definitely capitalized on the chance they had. They had 9 shots on target in this game compared to Santos' 6 shots on target. It seemed like a lot more, but with the position that we had, I expected more. But all in all, I'm happy with this result, though. A little bit of mistakes here and there, but it is the first game of the season under a new manager. He's still trying to figure out how he wants his team to play, especially when we're playing in a different formation that you usually don't see compared to what we have with Goyard. I've usually seen that 4-4-2 formation. We went with 4-2-3-1, actually, which is a little bit something other, or a little bit actually to what Solari runs at America. But all in all, I like this. Content with this result.
I think the word perfectly is content. I think you can't go too overly excited of what you saw on the pitch because it wasn't, not to say that it was bad, but it just, it felt a little bit flat at times from these ladies. But I did like the fact that they were constantly trying. They never kept their heads down, even after conceding the goal that they conceded. They definitely tried to remain on top. And they moved around. And this is a team that, like I mentioned to you, AJ, this is a team that's going to want to have the ball, that's going to want to dominate possession, that's going to want to be fluid in their movements like that. And you definitely saw that. I mean, there was times where we gave a bad pass here or there, but for the most part, I felt pretty confident with what the kind of game plan was going forward against Santos. And I don't know, we definitely did not execute it to perfection. But I do think that there was a glimpse and hopes of things that we might see in the upcoming match in the futures. And something to definitely be excited about is, you know, what Carrington can get out of these ladies.
Yeah, no, just it's the first game of the season so far. We got to see a very strong lineup against Santos. While the result like for most fans, while they, as I mentioned, content, they definitely could, it could definitely be improved in the next game and throughout the rest of the season. But all, I'd say it's a good starting point.
It definitely is a very good starting point. And let's talk a little bit about our debutants in that game. I mean, AJ, who debuted for us besides everyone knowing already, Kiana Palacios?
We have Maria Malion make her debut for America Feminine in an official game four, which is nice to see. We also got to see Karen Luna make her debut as well in an America jersey. Former Tigres player who's played with them since the very beginning, and seeing her on the left back side, she seemed a little bit lost at times from knowing where her position is, especially since we have been rotating with left backs. Recently, we used to have Hannah playing at that left back position. We have Ime. Now we got Luna, but it's the first game of the season. Let's not be too overcritical about her, but she did what she had to do in the match. And Malion, for her playing as a center attacking mid in here, you just see her being opted as a forward, but seeing as a center attacking mid, she wasn't too bad, though I preferably would like to see her as a forward. And then just Kiana Palacios, she did what she had to do. As soon as she got that first goal, she was hungry for more goals. She definitely she wasn't satisfied with that one goal. But all in all, she had a good debut. And for everyone else, same thing here.
Definitely. And I want to apologize because I've just caught myself. I've been saying Carrington this whole time, and you have not once, AJ, corrected me. It's Harrington. God. I'm mixing the first name and the last name, putting them together.
You put the first initial and that together. I'm like, I mean, that's you. But hey, I was waiting to see the moment where you were like, hey, I'm saying his name wrong. But
you better let me go 50 minutes without even correcting me, AJ. My goodness. But you're right. Some pretty promising stuff from the debutants against Santos Feminine. And it's just a matter of them getting their feet wet and getting accustomed to, you know, the club, the institution, and the manager as well, what they want from them. And I told you that Kiana Palacios is going to start, yet you didn't want to believe me. And I told you it'd be a lot easier for him to communicate with her. And it looked like it paid dividends at the end of the day. Something that you mentioned, though, about Kiana is that she was very much hungry for goals, even after scoring the one that she did. You saw her being a little daring, taking shots from outside the box whenever she could turn and try to take a shot. Granted, they weren't the best of them, but again, you know, she's trying to get her feet wet in the league. She's trying to, you know, accustom herself to the América playstyle and the Azteca. That's not an easy thing to do whatsoever either. So interesting stuff. And, you know, a funny stat that I think the commentators were talking about was the fact that América had yet to win in the Azteca for quite some time, and definitely broke kind of that little curse. And now we're back to hopefully winning ways at home.
I hope so too. Especially as well, we've only played the Azteca now 25 times. We used to play a bunch of it back in the 2017-2018 season, then moved to Coapa, and it seemed like the team's just been so accustomed to the pitch at Coapa, so then when it came back to the Azteca, you have the altitude coming in play, and just them not playing in familiar grounds for some of these players. They probably never played in the Azteca before, maybe played it once or twice. So for them to have the entire season not playing in the Azteca, and hopefully in the future as well, it's a start. And now we finally got a win, and it's the first one of the season, and we'll be back to playing again for the tomorrow for the next game against Puebla, and as I mentioned, for the rest of the season.
Definitely. The interesting thing, something to keep an eye out for whenever the ladies do play at home. Can they make the Azteca a fortress for them? And we'll have to wait and see. But let's talk a little bit about this matchup, because I think there's something peculiar that happens, right? América starts off the game very much dominating possession, mm-hmm. breathing down Santos' neck. And then all of a sudden, Santos gets a worldie of a shot outside, 40-odd yards out, beating Renato Mascherelli, which, by the way, should not be game being that far out, but that's needless here or there. They concede. What did you feel at that moment, AJ? What were you able to take away from that goal that we conceded?
This was a similar situation that we had last season against Santos, where we actually end up having them tie the game up, and then we respond with the goal of our own. But just seeing that how we conceded in that fashion, it feels like the same old story, just what every goalkeeper we've had playing at América Feminine, they always just seems to go over the line. Then as soon as a shot like that goes over, a rainbow shot, most definitely it's going to go, and there's not much you can do. Really disappointing. The position just got to be better. You just can't be allowing shots like that during the match. And at that point, I was nervous, because then I felt like Santos is going to play defensive for the rest of this match and not allow America to really try to break through the defense. But then you know what happened next. But just, I can't be seeing shots like that happening, especially for Mascherelli, which you mentioned, top one goalkeeper, might be top five in this league. You can't allow shots like that going in.
I know, right? I stuck my neck out for her last episode, and then she concedes that type of goal. I'm just like, oh, well, I guess joke's on me. But she didn't look so solid in goal this game. Something was off, definitely, about her. And she just didn't give you that confidence that you would expect from her. But not to say anything bad about her. I think it was just kind of those, you know, things that you work out, those little kinks from the first Jornada, and then you kind of just move on from this. I think everyone out there didn't have a perfect game. I don't think there was one player that really stood out, and we were like, wow, this is the most solid player that we've had in the 90 minutes that this game was played. So I think everyone has a little bit something to work on. But again, I think it's that collective unit that we saw out there on Sunday against Santos that really, really brought it home for me. You saw a team that usually, given this situation last season, goes down, concedes that type of goal, probably don't get back into it right away. If anything, they maybe even concede a second one before they even start finding the back of the net. But I saw this kind of drive and hunger from these ladies that even after conceding that goal, they went out there, they searched it, and they never gave up. They never put their heads down. And because of that, you know, we get the equalizer thanks to Kiana, and what a ball from Montse Hernandez. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, you go into halftime, it's 1-1, and you're thinking, well, this game is wide open for America to just go out and take it to them. And, it had to be a dubious penalty, right? Some people saying it was, other people saying it wasn't. Oh. It's a little bit more towards the wasn't side, but we're not here to argue with the referees. We're just kind of here to call it as how they called it. And America capitalizes that. But in the second half, I don't think we were as aggressive as we were in the first, but I do think that we controlled the game just as well as we did in the first 45 minutes. There's something about this team that wanted the ball, but necessarily, whilst they may not have the best of ideas going forward, they never flustered themselves. They always tried to find an answer, and they knew that whilst the clock was running against them, that they had more than capability of getting that goal, and they did so. Sometimes you need a little bit of luck, but you know, we get it in that sort of fashion with a penalty, and Gianelli Farias goes and converts.
Yeah, no, just I'm glad this wasn't the long ball United kind of play that we usually stick to, where you either give the ball to Munce, you cross it, you just hope you can find Daniel Espinosa, and we're just in that box ahead. At that point, it just seems like we were driving. We were just taking the ball towards the defense. We were going inside their box, do a step over two, and just try to either deliver a short cross or a short pass to someone and then try to put it back in. But like you said, while they didn't get the goal, they didn't give up. They didn't seem too flustered. They let it get into their heads. They just kept trying until they find the golden opportunity for them to score. Wow, we got it in a fashion that was very controversial. All in all, it did give us a penalty. And at the very end, Bahia stepped up, took the penalty, makes it 2-1, and we overall get 3 points at the end of the day. And you can't go wrong with that.
What is with center backs at America taking penalties? What I want to understand.
Hey, look at Emi Aguilera. He was the one that was starting that entire trend with taking penalties. And now we're looking at Farias is like, you're next. She has yet to miss the penalty. To my knowledge, I'm pretty sure she has not missed one yet. So there's that.
It's interesting. I thought Danny would have taken it.
I don't think you'd want to. Do we have to go back to the pain and suffering that was Rayadas? Yeah, I don't think she'd want to take a penalty again.
I know, but I feel like you need to get that confidence back up, and she needs a goal drastically from the 12-yard spot in order to get that confidence back up. But again, I don't think this was the game for it either, AJ. I think I need someone solid like Gianelli to come in, because we were looking towards the end of the game already when this goal goes in. I mean, what are we talking about? The 80th minute of the match?
77th. Yeah,
77th minute. Exactly. So you were running down the clock already and thinking, well, nothing's going in. What are we going to do? Fortunately enough, We get a little bit of luck there, and then Gianelli Faria puts the ball in the back of the net. And now we're here talking about a 2-1 victory for America, which, you know, I still think that they managed to close out the game properly, too. I mean, the last 10 minutes of the match, you saw them try to hold their shape. You know, I don't think Santos really troubled us as much as we think they could have. They had a couple of chances from outside the box, but I think that's what they were kind of just resorting themselves to, was trying to be as dangerous as they could from long range. They weren't really too worried about being able to find themselves inside the box. I mean, you had a partnership, hopefully a center-back partnership that's going to flourish this season in Gianelli Farias and Jason Noregel, that I think was actually looking as promising as we thought it would be last season. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But for the most part, things are looking, like, hate to repeat myself, but promising for the ladies going forward now. I mean, Jornada 1, you get the 3 points, which I think that's ultimately vital. That's exactly what you need, regardless of how you play. So you're off on the right foot. And like I mentioned, there's little seeds here and there that Harrington implanted that hopefully will flourish into the foundation of what he wants this team to play. I can already tell that he wants this team to be a very possessive team, a team that understands how to, you know, move, attack, and defend with the ball. And I think that the ladies, as the time progresses, will eventually pick up on that and, you know, be able to execute the game plan to perfection, hopefully by the end of the regular season. So we'll have to wait and see. But AJ, I think some promising things coming for America.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see how the rest of the season goes down with Harrington and the rest of the team. This team looks very solid, especially with a couple of pickups that we did make to the team as well. So I think this is probably the team we'll be seeing for the rest of the season. But we potentially may be, that might not just be the only players we're going to be adding, might get more maybe in the near future. Who knows?
Will be an interesting one. Definitely an interesting one to keep an eye on. So ultimately, America gets 3 points. And as far as I saw, we were sitting second in the table until other results were coming in through. But, you know, again, you don't look at the table until like maybe 6-7 jornadas in. So don't be eager, ladies and gentlemen, to go out there and looking at the table after like 2 jornadas. And, you know, give it a bit of time. Give it a bit of time. The most important part about this was building fundamentals, which I think we're starting to do so, and kind of, you know, little by little find progression throughout the weeks in this regular season. So far, so good. And America's just got to keep it up. Definitely got to keep it up. But all right, AJ, that does it for America versus Santos. Let's move on into our next segment. And before we do so, I do want to remind everyone that today's episode is brought to you guys by Foot Cult. If you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys check out footcult.com and use the discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. Again, that is discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off on all Foot Cult products. They are dropping some amazing merchandise, some amazing gear. Those shorts, those blackout shorts, my goodness, AJ. Those are a must cop if you are interested in that. Again, use the discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. All right, AJ, talk to me about Coapa news in and around the Lady Aguilas camp. Was there an signing that we did not talk about last week on the podcast?
There's 3 signs that we have made additional team. 2 of them are coming from the U17 squad, and that is goalkeeper Fedra Cota and midfielder Angelique Saldivar. Fedra Cota, she's going to be the 4th string goalkeeper on this team. 16 years old, and Angelique Saldivar, she's 14 years old, and she's put into the squad, which is very interesting.
What?
I was just me exactly. I was like, a 14-year-old just got signed to the team. Who knows how she's going to be? Who knows? Maybe I'm hoping to see her play because they're going to have to fulfill that requirement for youth. So expected to see, I'd say, maybe towards the very end of the season. Who knows? Play some big games against the big team. So let's see. And then the other addition we made is Stephanie Mariana Rivero, Brazilian-American soccer player who has played in University of Connecticut and has played in Norway. And looking at the stats that she had in college, she just seems to improve her game with each season. First time playing as a rookie, she only had 3 goals in 19 games. Then the second season, she had 6 and 20, 7 and 23rd and 3rd. And then her final season, 22 goals in 23 games as a forward.
There you go. So we're bringing in another forward.
Yep.
So you're telling me now we have this new signing, then we have Blue, we have Janelli Farias, we also have who's the person we brought in from Toluca?
Mariela Malion.
Yeah, Mariela Malion. Danny, who could play up top. AJ, that's already five forwards, and I know I'm missing someone here too. Mayra Pelayo, is she a forward?
She technically could play as a forward as well, and then Nata Huerta. She technically could play as well. You mentioned Janelli Farias, but you know what? I wouldn't be surprised because she definitely could score. She could score the PK.
Wait, did I say Farias?
You said Janelli Farias, but hey, if she's listening to this, hey, I just ask Carrington. You could play forward for just, you know, garbage minutes.
One game?
Not even like the final minutes. Like, just put me up front. Put another center back.
Put me in, coach. Put me in. That's a lot of forwards, AJ. I don't know how we're rotating.
When I'm thinking about this, but I don't. She could play as a center forward, but I'd see her playing more either on the right hand side or the left wing side because I feel that's where she's more comfortable at. But not that worth that. She could definitely play as well, but I think it's just her.
I would like to see her at the cam spot.
She could definitely play in that cam position, just like Malion. She definitely can. Then when you're looking now at the true forward options, you got Danny Flo, De Espinosa, Kian Palacios, and Ibero at your position right there.
Did you already put Blue in there?
Yeah, Danny Flo.
Oh, Danny Flo. Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. Wait, but you forgot Cassandra Cueva, who for some reason has now become a vital center mid for America, who was once a starter at the striker position.
She can, but I think she's going to be staying in that midfield spot probably for forever, honestly.
Do you like her in that position, AJ?
I feel like
she's getting a little better, but I still am not convinced that that is her spot.
You see, when we had the trifecta of Daniel Espinosa, Lucero Cuevas, and Cas up front, we just had them as that trifecta right there, the triangle offense. That was disgusting. He had so many goals coming from them. From Cas, I mean, two seasons ago, she was bagging in goals, but to put granted as well, it was against weak oppositions like Necaxa and Mazatlan. But you get to see what she could really do when, you know, she played as a center attacking mid or up front. But she's crossing the position. I feel like in the game of women's soccer, you're not always going to be staying stuck in one position. At some point, you're going to be thrown as a center mid, a left mid, right mid. Heck, at some point, you even see some forwards in women's soccer. They just get thrown to as a left back or right back position simply because of their pace and dribbling capabilities.
Interesting. But again, we're not here to digress on that position. We're just here to talk to you guys about the incorporations. And like you mentioned, AJ, I think those will be the last bit of players coming in for America Femenil, unless you have something else.
Yeah, so Craig Harrington in the press conference, someone did ask him if Rivera is going to be the last sign. He's like, she's a sign that I wanted, but I have no clue if she's going to be the final sign of the team or there's going to be more players arriving soon. So it's really up to Claudia Carrion to make more of the signs this point. Harrington, he said, that's the play that I wanted. If she brings any of her players, welcome to the squad. And I can't really go wrong with that, honestly. More signings, it's nice to reinforce the bench, but all more squad depth.
So basically what AJ is saying, that Megan Rapinoe will come to him.
I mean, hey, I wouldn't say no to that.
Well, I know, right? And we didn't have enough forwards.
Have more. It never hurts.
Yes, it does, AJ. It hurts a lot playing time-wise for some of these ladies. But we'll see what happens, though. We'll keep you guys updated on all things going on in and around the world of Coapa for the ladies over on our social media platforms. That is Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at EY Podcast. AJ is going to have you guys covered with all things Lady Aguilas this season, as he has done in the past. And make sure you guys stay tuned to that, because he will keep you guys up to date every single bit of news that we hear come in for the ladies. So that pretty much wraps up the news in regards to Coapa, right, AJ? No, nothing else to really add on? Or
Just really an injury. Reporter asked Craig Harrington to what happened to Alexandra Godinez and why she was not featured on the bench. He just simply said it's just an injury. We'd hope to incorporate her back into the squad as soon as possible. For what it sounds like, maybe just out, maybe just from the first or not. Maybe expect her to probably see the bench against Puebla.
And talking about injuries, we did have a player that was stretched off the field, AJ. Any updates on her?
Monica Rodriguez, she did post on her tour that she's complete, that she is fine right now. A-okay. Just thanks to everyone who sent her tweets, making sure that she's okay. So if anything, we probably would see her in the game against Puebla is starting. And if not, if anything, just maybe put her on the bench and could put someone else in that right back spot.
I don't think Harrington's gonna risk it. I think if the medical staff doesn't give her the green light right away, I think he's just not gonna want to do it, and he's gonna have her rest again. It's early in the season; no need to start risking. Will probably be your starting right back for the rest of the campaign, right? So we'll have to wait and see what happens in that department. But as far as things go, that is your guys' updates for our ladies and Coapa. So with that said, AJ, we're not going to have to wait too long until the ladies wear that beautiful yellow kit that they were able to debut at home, as they will be going up against Puebla in the Jornada 2 of the Liga MX Feminine Apertura 2021. Back at the Estadio Azteca, although this time at a different time, 3 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Standard, 5 p.m. Central Standard, and then, of course, 6 p.m. Eastern time for you, AJ. This game's going to be broadcasted live via To The Ene, and you guys can catch that over on there. And if you guys are going to be like me, who are still going to be stuck at work, unfortunately, well, you guys can catch up and follow the game minute by minute, as AJ is going to have you guys covered on that aspect. AJ, how excited are you for this game? It's the second time, and it's the second go-ahead at the Estadio Azteca, something I don't think we've seen ever.
Yeah, no. We get to see the beautiful home kits like I got here right now. I'm ready for game day. This time around, instead of me just wearing any other America jersey that I have, back at the Azteca again. These ladies will get to play it there again. See how it is this time against Puebla, who in the last Jornada, they won 3-1 against León. So this will definitely be an interesting game this time around.
I think it definitely is going to be the first quote-unquote big test for Harrington and his side. You're talking about a Puebla side that went out there and did their job against León, and now they're going to be looking to do the same against América. Obviously, we already know this, AJ, because we've seen it time and time again, whether it's for the men's or for the ladies. Whenever they go up against América, it's like they play at 120% every single time. And so I think América needs to find a way to immobilize kind of that confidence from Puebla, because it's going to try to seep into this game. And really, we can't go into this one with any more higher levels of confidence either, too, because we didn't have the most perfect game. We didn't have the most well-rounded game against Santos. We know that there was things to, you know, work on, and hopefully, as the season progresses, kind of, you know, tweak little things here and there. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. It's going to be an interesting game. What are you most excited, or at least what is the one thing you want to see out of this matchup for Harrington's side?
Just this time around, just to still not give up. You see how the ladies have not been flustered at all whenever they miss an opportunity. But this time around, I want to see them take better shots than what they had from last game. While we had 9 shots on target, that's great. Now start converting those shots on targets into goals now, which I would love to see from this side. We definitely have the players that get up front. They can definitely score some goals from us. We're going to be tested. We're going to have a quote-unquote big test against Puebla, who is coming into this game pretty well with 3 goals of their own that they have scored in the season so far. So this time around, see what Harrington can do against this Puebla side that have beaten us 1-0 in the last game of the last season. So it'd be interesting to see what they could do. Those pain.
Jesus. Yeah, very much pain. But of course, you know, we're trying to rewrite those wrongs from last season into this one. And I think this is going to be an interesting game. Nonetheless, I think you'll give me your predicted starting 11, but I don't expect it to change from what we saw against Santos. I think this is a manager that doesn't really want to tweak too much with what's working, right? If you have a working formula, then, you know, use it. Keep using it until you have to then eventually later tweak something. But I would much rather see the same starting 11, because I would say that everyone out there played a very good game, very decent minutes for the majority of the ladies. And I think it was a well-rounded squad. And so I think you need to give them that, you know, that how, what is the word I'm looking for? I know it in Spanish. I just can't say it in English right now. But consistency. There you go. I don't know why I couldn't. We always say this word on the podcast, AJ, and I can't remember it for some reason. But you want to give that team that consistency of playing with each other week in and week out, understanding, playing to the rhythm, playing to what you want them to play as, because it's a whole different situation to what they were accustomed to last season with Leo Collado's so-called tactics. That long ball situation isn't exactly what I would call tactics, AJ. But you see with this new manager that there's an idea going forward and trying to understand how to break teams down, how to, you know, move and keep possession and have the other team run for the ball rather than you chase it, which is something that we saw a lot with Goyard because we were very much a quote-unquote counter-attacking team. So we'll have to wait and see, but I would personally want to see the same start 11 against Santos, against Puebla, especially because you're at home. No reason to change things up. But with that said, AJ, what is your predicting start 11 for Friday's matchup?
All right, just to repeat if everyone didn't catch it for the last podcast episode, we have Nathan Mesheri starting in goal. Your left back's me, Karen Luna. Your two center backs, Justin Orihan, Janay Farias. All right, right back, if Monica Rodriguez is not at 100%, I would just simply put Selena Valera at that right back spot. Your midfielders are still going to be consistent of Gus Cuevas and Abel Gonzalez. And then up front, we're going to have Daniel Espinosa on the left. Our center tag is going to be Maria Maleon. Our rep is going to be our right mid. It's going to be Monte Hernandez. And up front, Gian Palacios again. So all in all, this is the same lineup. And pinpoint out, Daniel Espinosa didn't look too shabby on the left mid. Consider that on the national team, she does play on the sides. And she definitely's got that pace, the dribbling capabilities, and as well to make really good passes, and to see her just embrace this new role that she could potentially have at America Feminine, I'd like it. And once on that right hand side, look very solid as well, especially the pass that she gave to Kiana Palacios last game. Just wonderful. Love to see more things from her on that right hand side.
It was an interesting thing that we bring up the whole winger situation, because I think that you and I originally thought Monse on the left, Danny on the right, but it looks like Harrington's goal with these ladies is to have them switched perfiles. Basically, what I'm saying is that he wants Monse to cut in and be able to cross or shoot with her left dominant foot on that right-hand side, and vice versa with Dani Espinosa with her right foot cutting in from the left-hand side. It's an interesting tactic. Let's see if it pays off. But you mentioned it. Both looked very comfortable, oddly enough, in that position. And, you know, it seemed to have been working. I mean, Monse paid the most dividends with that cross into Kiana. And now let's see what they're capable of doing. And this is a matchup that, even though I'm not trying to discredit what, you know, Puebla did against León, again, this is a Puebla side that America should potentially be beating by more than one goal, you would imagine. So this is a moment where I feel like I need a player like Dani Espinosa to come in, bag herself a goal, and little by little get on that track of finding her rhythm, finding her groove. And, you know, she is the all-time leading goal scorer. So you expect goals out of her this season. And hopefully this game is the one to, you know, bring dividends to that, AJ.
We'll love to see it. And just see every one of these players give their 110% against Puebla. But not just Puebla, but to every single opponent that they'll be facing this season as well. But, like, you always want to see an improvement from the previous game. In the previous game, not every game is going to be perfect. There's always a mistake or two that you can pinpoint out. And then definitely improve that into the next game. But whatever our team is doing right in the last game, which is all about that possession and just them not giving up or getting too flustered when having a shot, we like to keep that. But this time around, we'll just convert those chances into goals now, which you'd like to see. And for someone like Daniela Espinosa, we want to see her score goals left and right like we usually see her in previous seasons. Last season wasn't the greatest seasons of her. May this time around be different for her. And hopefully she can bag her first goal of the season against Puebla.
Yeah, let's hope so. That's exactly what we're hoping for. And we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But all in all, you know, I'm expecting this to be a good game for America Feminil. We mentioned that we already know that at least the foundation of this is being very possessive with the ball, and which I think will help because I think Puebla might try to catch us on the counter. But I think the most important part is, again, us keeping our shape. We didn't really give Santos too much chances inside the box, which is something that I actually walked away with pretty happy. It was kind of those long-range efforts that I needed to see the midfield have a body there to kind of disrupt that potential shot from 40 odd yards out. We'll have to wait and see what happens, though. Again, I think we're kind of in this transitional phase, which, funny enough, you know, a couple of months ago, we were in the same boat with the men's side of things with Solari. And it kind of oddly feels very similar to that, what we were feeling now with Harrington, with the ladies. And it's seen mild progressions that ultimately, hopefully, will build into something bigger. Again, this is kind of have to be a snowball effect. If we're being honest, it's got to build traction. It's got to, you know, eventually amount to something bigger. But you need to start off rolling down the hill first. And I think we did that against Santos Feminine. Now it's a matter of, okay, can we pick it up and continue to do that against Puebla? So what more could you add to this preview, AJ?
Just the Harrington. Just don't yell at the lineswoman. It's okay. It's fine.
You got a yellow card, huh?
You got a yellow card. I'm just like, please do not get sent off, because I remember Hugo Reyes got sent off against the same opponent. You had to look at Victor Medina, and you're like, you're up now. Go have fun coaching the rest of the match. I did not want that. So just for him, just keep this cool this time around. And him, I kind of just like how he was really confident in the press conference right after. He just said, we were the better team throughout the 90 minutes. And I remember him, I think, just even give like a little wink or a smile to like one of the reporters, and they were just like, yeah, I said that. I said what I said. I'm not taking anything back. So even I think the chance I have to repeat it again that, yeah, we were the better team. That's what he's saying. We were the better team, just to make sure. But yeah, no, just with Harrington, just want to see what else he could bring into this America side. And like you mentioned, it feels like it's a snowball effect. And the men's side of things, we have a new coach. It's the second season now. We see what he did in the first season. See what he can do in the second. Now with Harrington around, see what he can do in a certain season in America. See what the tax that he brought in the NWSL and now applied into this new squad in this league that's completely new to him. So can't wait to see what he can do against Puebla.
Definitely. And, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. For you, who's the key standout player for America, at least for this game against Puebla?
I'm going to say Gian Palacios. I definitely feel like she's going to definitely be one of the top goal scorers this season in the league. And I feel like potentially our top goal scorer in America. She's got that first goal. Saw her celebration fly like an eagle. She's embracing embracing the culture at America. And I would definitely like to see her continuously keep scoring more goals for us. So I say she's definitely going to be the player to watch for me in this upcoming game against Puebla. And like I said, she gets a brace. This jersey right here, it's gonna have her number and name on the back of the jersey.
I love it. And by the way, I initiated that. I nudged you in that direction. Okay. So I just, Kiana, if you're listening to this, you're welcome. You're right though. I agree with you. I think Kiana Palacios has to be the player that, you know, because of what she did in her debut, everyone's gonna kind of keep an eye out on her to see what she's able to do against Puebla. I'm not expecting her to score a hat trick, and I'm not expecting a brace either. But a goal or an assist is exactly what we're looking for. If she, just the same way that this whole thing has to start off a snowball effect, her too. You know, she's got to start, you know, finding a way to be in rhythm and on a roll, and continuously have that consistency throughout the season. And it has to start off against Santos. It did so. Now you got to, you know, carry it on forward against Puebla. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But interesting enough, I think she has some very good help in and around her area. You have on one side Dani, on one side Monse. Like, you're in good hands. It's just a question of, can you put your chances away? And I think that's what we need to see from this America side, is being clinical. Not just her, because I'm not just pointing fingers at Kiana. We need more other players to step up in the moment and hopefully bag ourselves a couple of goals against Puebla. But with that said, AJ, what is your prediction for Friday's matchup?
I got myself going with a 2-1 result, actually. I don't see us getting a clean sheet in this match. I feel we're definitely going to let slip one away, but we're definitely going to just respond back once again with two goals of our own. And I feel like from there on out, we'll definitely be dominant for the rest of the match, just holding possession and just trying everything we possibly can to maybe, who knows, maybe score more than just two goals. But see you on Friday.
We'll see. Okay. That's not a bad prediction. I'm actually gonna go be very adventurous here. I'm going 2-0. I think we can keep the clean sheet. What I'm seeing between Gianelli and Jocelyn is very much satisfying. I'll say that much. This is definitely a partnership that shows that they have played years and years together, that finally under this manager may flourish and blossom. And so now we'll have to wait and see. But I do think that, you know, they can hold it down. They can keep it together. And I don't know. I mean, if you look at the way Jocelyn plays, it's so hard to do so because the camera doesn't track one player. It tracks the ball. But the little glimpses you get to take on Jocelyn, she's everywhere on the pitch, like covering that left-hand side. Like sometimes she acts like she's a fullback when she's actually a center back.
I'm going to mention that. Like,
yeah,
she never just wants to stay put as a center back. Like I mentioned every time, she wants to get herself involved in the play. She will take that ball up to midfield if necessary. And like at times as well as a ball, you'll see her on that left-hand side just running it towards the corner and then just try to pass it off or go for a cross. And then by the time she does that, she stays put there. She would only ever roll back if the counterattack initiated. From there on out, she's just able to just run back there as soon as possible to help out. So would definitely like to see more of that from her.
Agreed. Would love to see much more of that from her, which I think we'll get to see it as the weeks progress. So interesting stuff there. So that's why I think this is a possibility of a 2-0 victory. But nonetheless, let's wait to see what happens on Friday. Again, that game is going to be live via through the end at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central. And then it's going to be 6 p.m. for you over there on the East Coast. AJ, again, follow all the live matchup moments of this game via Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. AJ is going to have you guys covered and should be an interesting one. We have some fun graphics coming along the way, AJ. Some very good stuff that we debuted for the Eagle Eye Podcast with the ladies, and looking forward to doing more of this.
No doubt about it. Can't wait to do more of those graphics, and as well may have more animated gifs for the rest of the season.
Definitely a lot more Fly Eagle Fly celebrations is what we're hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, AJ, well, is there anything to add on before we wrap up today's episode?
That's about it.
Definitely. Well, we're coming to you guys a little bit earlier than usual because America does play on Thursday night against Querétaro, the men's side at least, and we didn't want to do it a day before the team actually played on a Friday. So we had to find and common ground here. So that's why we're coming to you guys a little bit earlier. But you know, you can usually find us at the regular time on Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, live on YouTube and Twitter. But if that's the case, if we are going to move it around, we'll let you guys know, or we'll definitely do something like this, pre-recorded, for you guys to have up and early so you guys can get your news and get your Lady Aguilas fix the way we know that you guys wanted to. But all right, AJ, I think that pretty much does it for us. We'll be back next week to talk all things América Femenil, as we'll be recapping the game against Puebla, and we're also going to be looking forward into the match against Querétaro. That's another Friday game, but this one's going to be a road match. Should be an interesting one, AJ.
Fun.
A lot of fun stuff going on with the Lady Aguilas. But anything else to add on before we wrap it up, AJ?
That's about it.
All right, then. Well, see you guys over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Follow us at Eagle Eye Podcast. Again, thank you to our sponsors, Football, for making this a possibility. Please wear your mask. Stay safe out there. And as always, Arriba en America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.